Right, sorry about that. Hey everyone, my name is Eric. I'm a staff engineer at Element. I primarily work with the back-end team who help build Synapse. So I realized a few months ago that we just haven't talked about Synapse for, I think, years and years and years, which is a real shame because I think there's a bit of a perception at times that Synapse is a bit boring. It kind of works, kind of doesn't, a bit old and crusty. When actually we do a lot of work in Synapse and we just fail to talk about it at all. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about what we've been up to and where we're going, and also just a little bit about what we're trying to do with Synapse, what the goals are, what the aims are, and that sort of thing. So first, what even is Synapse? So Synapse is just the home server implementation written in Python. So a home server is the thing that lives on the server. It's where your account lives. It's what your client connects to send and receive messages. Your home server then talks to other home servers. So that's what allows you on Matrix.org, if you have an account on Matrix.org, to talk to users on other servers, either their personal servers or other companies and things like that. There are a lot of other implementations of home servers out there nowadays, which is really, really fun to see. They're trying different architectures and trying different languages and the like. But Synapse is still the oldest. It's been around now for about, well, over 10 years, 11, I guess, this year. So it is the most featureful out there. It is the most battle-tested and certainly the most widely used in the ecosystem. I think there's about 10,000, according to our phone home stats, which I checked the other day. But that's just the ones that have actively opted in to the phone home stats, so God only knows how many there are actually out there. But, you know, it's been 10 years, so it's gone through a little bit of an evolution. So it started out as a prototype back in 2014, before we even knew what Matrix was. So we were just trying things out, and I was there, Keegan, wherever he's that, thanks. And like we sort of built some things and figured out what this Matrix protocol could look like, at which point we launched and told everyone about it, and it was great. But, you know, it was no longer a prototype. And so we sort of more saw it then at that point as a reference implementation. So the idea there is that you'd have the written spec. But if that was a bit confusing or you didn't understand how that would work in practice, you could just go and have a look at the code. And it would be nice and simple and easy to follow. You'd have this implementation, which is kind of no frills. But it would allow people to try it out and see how you build something on top of it. Unfortunately, more and more people started using Matrix, and that requires more features and more config options. And since we wanted this to be a great success, we kept saying, yes, obviously we'll build these features. And we kept building as the ecosystem grew, as the Matrix grew. We kept adding more and more features on top of it. And it very quickly stopped being a reference implementation at that point and started being more of a featureful, batteries included style implementation. All of that happened very naturally and organically over the time. It's not like we sat down and go, right, we're changing direction. It was just the right thing to do, and we did it. But it does mean that we haven't really ever had a nice kind of pithy one-liner for what is the goal of Synapse, what are we trying to do with it, which is unfortunate because it's really nice to have something like that so people understand what we're doing and why we're doing that sort of thing. So yeah, over the past few months, that's kind of been a topic that we've talked about internally a bit more and as part of the Synapse team, like how can we explain to other people what our goals are? And well, long story short, this is kind of what we've ended up with, is the idea that we want to provide a great experience out of the box. Slightly more concretely, what does that mean? Well, for end users, this means being reliable. Like it sounds like a really low bar to not drop messages as a messaging app, but it's quite important. You do one of those once, even if it's once in a blue moon, and people just stop trusting you. And like for Instant Messenger, you need your users to trust. Otherwise, they're just going to go and use something else, because if you can't rely on them, your messages being sent through, you're just going to have to use something else. And it's not just the kind of whether a message gets through, it's also whether the user perceives it as kind of working. They can't see what's going under the hood. So like that perceived robustness is also really important. So if the app feels slow and janky and kind of a bit juttery, people are going, well, something's clearly going wrong. And so performance is also really important here, like perceived performance. So that's important for us. And on top of that, obviously, having a fast app is nice, and that will make people want to use us. And then on top of all of that, you need all the modern features that you expect from a messaging client. 10 years ago, the messaging ecosystem was different. There are a lot less features. Whereas nowadays, you have encryption everywhere. You want multi-device support. You want reactions. You want threads. And you know, as time moves on, that's going to keep happening. Like more and more features will need to be added, and Synapse and Matrix as a whole will kind of need to keep pace. So that's important. But users aren't the only people we're trying to target here. Server operators are also important. Like a lot of you, I imagine, are running Synapse in one way or the other. And it's really important that it's easy to install, at least initially, even if you have to do some more config down the line if you get bigger. Because no one's going to recommend running Synapse, no one's going to try running Synapse if it takes hours and hours and hours and a lot of faff to get going. And similarly with maintainability, like if you're running this stuff, you're running a server-side thing, it's always going to require a little bit of effort, but if it's taking hours of your time kind of every week just to keep it updated, again, it's going to feel like a faff and people are just not going to recommend Synapse to others. They're not going to run it at the, you know, their communities or other businesses. So server operators are also really important to us. And so we want to give them a great experience too. But this is, we can't be everything to everyone. Like this is, you know, there's a lot of different use cases in Matrix. We see a lot of different deployments out there, whether that's just tiny like personal servers or for communities or something like FOSDEM or like those really big servers like Matrix.org or big companies or small companies, tons of different use cases. And so we do need to have a little bit of focus of who we're prioritizing and what sort of features and deployments we want to do. Otherwise, we're just going to run out of time. So this is kind of just what we're focusing on now. And the first big one is the small and medium-sized messaging deployments. So that's like the vast majority of the community certainly are fit into that bill. And the idea there is that we'll spend as much time as we can trying to make those better, give a great experience to those users and the people running those deployments. For things like the slightly larger deployments where you start having to do a lot of stuff with workers, we're still going to support that. Obviously, this is not about taking anything away. This is just, we're kind of acknowledging the fact that if you're going to run those larger deployments, it's going to take more tinkering and a little bit more time. It's not going to work straight out the box without any kind of extra configuration. And we kind of see that as fine. People expect that. And also for non-messaging use cases, we certainly want to support them and we do support them. But it might take a little bit more tinkering just because we don't know what the messaging use case is, kind of the usage patterns and that sort of thing. And that can be radically different than a messaging app. And so that just requires a little bit more performance tinkering and that sort of thing. But we do still support it, just not quite out the box. And then finally, you have some of these really, really like massive deployments. We're talking about like millions of users here. And that's just something that Synapse currently really just doesn't particularly support out the box. It tends to just immediately fall over. And part of that is just the architecture of Synapse fundamentally, the way that replication works and the like. To actually do that, you do need to have extra tooling and expertise, and you do sink a huge amount of time trying to make that work. You can just about do it. Element has sort of done some of this and helped people run at that scale. It takes a lot of custom tooling and stuff. So if you do want to do that, come and talk to us. But fundamentally, kind of out of the box, the FOSS version just falls over, and there's not much we can do to not make that, just because of the use cases. They're all very different. You kind of have to take it by a little bit more case by case. So this is where our focus is, primarily at the top. But if people start having issues with the larger deployments, we'll fix that. We'll continue with the documentation for how you run like that sort of deployments as well. So that was a lot of talk about kind of goals and aims and kind of you know, how does this actually relate to what's actually happening on the ground and the practical reality? So like, how are we doing today? Like, some of that was aspirational. I think things that we do quite well is making it easy to install. So like, you only need a Postgres and a front-end web server, and then you can just grab the Docker image or the Debian packages or one of the many third-party packages that people maintain, and you just generate the config, and voila. I mean, Matthew demoed earlier just how easy that can be. It takes 30 seconds sometimes to spin these sort of things up. So that's great. We also try really hard to make it easy to keep updated, as much as it personally horrifies me to see people running Synapse from years ago. It is quite satisfying when you go, you do need to update. They bump the version, get the new package, and they just restart, and it all just magically works. Like, 30 seconds of time taken to do that, and a huge amount of work goes into that. Like, we do database schemas changes all the time, but we really, really try to make that forwards compatible so you don't have to do any manual steps there. We've also been continuing to just add new features that clients need. We're currently looking at, for example, adding some better threading APIs for Lemon X and all the rest of it. And reliability. We generally don't drop messages ever nowadays. Again, it feels like a really low bar, but it's a really important one. So, you know, I'm going to take the win. But obviously, Synapse isn't perfect. You know, consistently, the biggest complaints we get from people are around resource consumption and usage. So things like memory usage, database size, CPU usage, and that sort of thing. So that's a big one. And closely related is performance, you know, especially perceived performance from users. So whether that's just it takes a long time to load in the app or to send a message or something, you know, that's something that we need improving. For a lot of people, it's actually fine. A lot of people do use Synapse out of the box and it's fine, but it's really easy for one of your users to just join Matrix HQ, for example, and then you watch Synapse really struggle on those smaller boxes, which is unfortunate because it shouldn't take one user to do something dodgy for it to go slightly wibbly. So, I mean, a great example of what we've been doing recently to make this better is doing things like the sliding sync API, which is part of Matrix 2.0. So the sync API is used to get your rooms and messages from the server. And so when you start up, it's how you get all those rooms, and it's how you get new messages since last time, and things like that. But the problem is that it doesn't scale very well with how old your account is. The more large rooms you have in there, the more data it sends down at that initial launch. And if you're someone like Matthew, not trying to pick on you, but that can take 15 minutes, if not longer now, 20 minutes. Keeps going up is the problem. It started off at a couple of minutes, and now it's at 20. And so that's obviously just fundamentally unacceptable. Like, you can't run a messaging app like that. So sliding sync is something that Keegan has been working on to just get away from that and change the API to be to scale to large accounts. And that has taken time to sync initially from 15 minutes to a second, which is 1,000x speed up, which is great. And it's a great example of how we can change the APIs just to make it more efficient. And that is used on LMNX, so you can try it yourself, for example. And yeah, I mean, it's one example of what we've done, and we're trying to do some more of that sort of thing. A second is still too long for this sort of thing, but at least when you're at a second, it's a lot more plausible to start optimizing that heavily and really bring that down. There's no reason it should take a second. It's just us being slightly slow in Python. So to support that, we've added a Rust port into Synapse. We're not rewriting Synapse into Rust at all, as much as I'd enjoy doing that. It's just used as a tool in our belt. So when we do find one of these CPU-intensive tasks, we go, aha, we can move that into Rust, and hopefully that will go faster and things like that. As a small sidebar, I'm astounded at how easy it was to integrate Rust into the Python ecosystem, Pyo3 and all of its libraries. just make it super easy. I was expecting, at the very least, doing all the native wheels and all the native packages would be a pain to set up the CI for, but they just have a CI build wheel command. You stick it up there and it just builds everything for you, which is great. An example of how this has helped us, these numbers are from a very old dodgy laptop, but if you send a message in a room with 5,000 local users, it takes a long time to calculate all the notifications and all the push rules and that sort of thing. Previously, because that's quite an intensive algorithm, because everyone changes their notifications all the time, there's notification settings all the time, and that used to take 3 seconds, and that has come down to 500 milliseconds by porting that bit of code into Rust. And actually, the Rust part where it actually calculates the push rules takes a few milliseconds here. It's just quite a lot of shuffling around for other bits and pieces for the 500 mils. So that's only a 6x speed up there for that API, but it's still not shabby, and it's something that we can slowly use to move other bits and pieces over to Rust where it makes sense. Obviously, we've been doing a lot of other stuff. So OAuth2 is a big thing. If for no other reason, it would be nice to have two-FA support. Amongst everything else, authenticated media is a big one, which protects your server from being used by your users just as a nice file share, which is really nice for your users, but annoying when you're running a server. There's also been tons of smaller performance improvements, which just very incrementally move the needle, but together really help. And then obviously the bug fixes and security updates and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of what we've done over the past year or two. And coming up, we're kind of not quite sure what we're doing yet, but this is the sort of stuff that we're looking at. So continuing to support matrix features and that sort of thing, but really to help, really to look into the API changes and changes to state rares and those kind of algorithmic changes to really chase the performance improvements. State rares is, as Keegan was talking about just now, is a huge contributor to performance problems and resource usage, because it tends to, in large rooms, you have to pull out all of the state, do this algorithm, put it back, but we can look at moving that to incremental things, incremental algorithms and the like. And then also better Rust support. What we have today is very bare bones. You can't do async await over it. It can't directly access the database. So it kind of limits our usage of it quite a lot. A lot of our actual heavyweight algorithms do need to talk to the database directly a lot. But if it has to bounce back into Python and back to Rust, you kind of lose a lot of the benefit of writing it in Rust in the first place.